The first reading is taken from Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verses 9, to chapter 12, verse 1, and then chapter 12, verses 13 to 14. Young people, enjoy your youth. Be happy while you are still young. Do what you want to do and follow your heart's desire. But remember that God is going to judge you for whatever you do. Don't let anything worry you or cause you pain. You aren't going to be young very long. So remember your Creator while you are still young, before those dismal days and years come when you will say, "I don't enjoy life." After all this, there is only one thing to say. Have reverence for God and obey his commands, because this is all that we were created for. God is going to judge everything we do, whether good or bad, even things done in secret. The second reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So then, my brothers and sisters, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that we're able to come into your presence this evening. We thank you we've been able to sing you our praises, to offer you our worship. And Lord, we know that you find what we offer acceptable. Father God, we pray now that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say to us this evening. Prepare us, we pray. In your name. Amen. Going by that Ecclesiastes reading, I must be getting old. This evening, we are going to be thinking about dating and other issues. What those other issues are, I'm not quite sure, but that's what it said. This evening, I want to explore some of the issues facing young people and young adults in the dating game. And I'm going to think about some contemporary society issues and understanding of dating. We're going to look at some of the pressures that there are there for young people and young adults. And I will warn you, we will be speaking fairly frankly about that. He's laughing. And then we're going to think about how the church deals with dating. And then I want to think for a little bit about the passage we've just heard read tonight and how they maybe will colour and shape our thinking in terms of relationships. Now, I must just say at the start, my track record on dating advice is not the best. I'm sorry to say that. I think I once told a young person who was asking me for advice about a relationship and whether or not it was the right thing to do, and my famous three lines were, just snog him. So, not a good place to start, I'm afraid. And my history of dating isn't much better. I went to a mate's birthday party. It was 1984. I was a young lad of 14. Some of you weren't even born then. I realised that. And I went there because I really fancied this girl. And it was my mate's birthday party. But I went there because I really fancied this girl. And I thought, this is going to be the party when we hook up and we start dating. It didn't happen, I'm afraid. But something special did happen. Because Carita was at that self-same party. And she had her eyes on a guy at that party. And for Carita, that night was going to be the night that they would hook up. It didn't happen. So we found ourselves consoling each other that we hadn't got with the people that we wanted to be. In fact, the two people we went after ended up together. So it was all a bit confusing and strange. And so that's kind of my history on dating. So that's where I'm coming from tonight. But hopefully we're going to work through together and get an understanding of some of the issues facing young people and relationships. But if my struggles in dating are scary and confusing, it's the same even more so today for young people and young adults. I want you to watch a video clip from a film that was out last year, I guess, called Angus Fong's and Perfect Snogging. Because this film sums up, I think, the confusion and the issues and whatever that are there for young people in the dating game. So let's run VT, as they say.
I can't. You want to move up on the maturity scale, right?
I'm not that desperate.
You have to step up to compete. It's educational. You'll gain skills Lindsay can only dream of.
Hi.
Hi. Are you Peter Dyer?
The man, the myth, the legend.
Your parents aren't here, are they?
No. My hours are between 4:30 and 6:30, before they get back from work. Any, musical requests? The right tune creates the right vibe. Coldplay? 50 Cent? Dido? In a relaxation mix?
Whatever. You choose.
Now, what kind of experience do you have?
Loads.
You have to be completely honest so I can evaluate you accurately.
Okay. I guess I've practiced a lot on the back of my hand.
On average, a person will have over 26,000 snogs in their lifetime. So close your eyes, relax, feel the magic. We're going to do a standard one first. Wow. You're a natural.
Really?
Not too firm. Or toothy. That's very common with beginners.
Great.
Next, movement. When I move my head in, you go the other way. The boy leads and the girl always fits in.
Where should I put my hands?
The waist is safest. You're a quick learner. Now, tongues. They're a health and safety issue. The secret is to strike the right balance between yielding and giving. Start slowly, like a turtle, not a lizard. Avoid washing machine syndrome. Sadly, this session's over. My next client's here.
Hi, Georgia.
Hi, Elle.
Thank you, Georgia. I'll be in touch.
You did tongues, didn't you? Number six. You did a big, fat tongue sandwich, didn't you?
Oh, my God.
All I know is he was from Saliva City. But who cares? I'm a snogging sensation.
Just to explain that Georgie fancies a guy called Robbie, who actually is dating another girl. And although Georgie has a lot of things going for her, she is inexperienced and hasn't even kissed a boy. So her friends set her up on this training exercise so that she can learn some techniques to win her man. Okay, so that's where that's coming from. But I think that film really kind of captures the struggle for young people as they play the dating game in today's society and try and keep up with everybody else and the pressures and the stuff that's going on for them. So, contemporary relationships. Carita's going to come and help me out for this. We've got a list here. You'll need to use the lectern because someone's stolen the handheld. That's okay. That's fine. She can use the lectern. That's good. That's cool. So we've got a list of what guys want girls to know. That's what I've got. And Carita's got a list of what girls want guys to know.
What girls wish
guys knew. What girls wish guys knew. I'm sorry. Wrong already. Go for it. Your first one.
My first one. Fine is never an appropriate response when I ask you how I look.
Okay. Guys, if we wanted to talk about what we're thinking about, we would.
I love it when you hug me from behind and whisper in my ear.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Video games are ours.
I expect you to call me.
We have bad weeks too. Usually more than once a month. See, the guys know, they're with me on this.
I want to be the best thing that ever happened to you and for you to recognise this.
We can't ask for directions. It's in our genetic coding.
I'm very impressed when you ask for my advice.
We don't like to hold your purse because there's no masculine way to hold it.
You're sexy when you're shaving, fixing things, wearing a white t-shirt and jeans, driving, eating a peach or holding a baby.
Not all guys say I love you. Some guys say it because they mean it.
That's not the whole sentence.
I missed a bit out, didn't I?
You did.
Not all guys say I love you to get into your pants. Some guys say it because they mean it. Sorry.
You missed the whole
point. I missed the whole point of that.
Yeah.
Discussion of ex-girlfriends and ex-boyfriends should be avoided at all times.
Just because we can't always spend time with you, it doesn't mean we don't want to spend time with you. Think about that one.
I remember everything about our relationship.
Don't worry about us cheating. If we wanted someone else, we wouldn't have asked to be with you.
I like it when you tell me what you're thinking, even if you don't know yourself.
No, other girls are not prettier than you.
Celebrating our anniversary, even if it has only been for a few months, earns major bonus points.
No. We don't know what we did wrong, but we're sorry anyway.
A lady should always be greeted with kisses.
Despite popular belief, we can't read minds. Don't expect us to.
I'm in heaven when you hold my hand.
Oh. Sometimes we just want to look at you and think how lucky we are.
It's cheating as soon as you're doing or thinking something with her that you wouldn't want me to see, hear or read.
We don't cry. Don't get angry when we don't.
It's best to consult your girl pals for gift ideas.
We really do like you exactly how you are. That's how we fell for you. You don't need to change a thing.
Only rock stars are allowed to wear leather trousers. And...
Oh, you got more.
The last one. You should know all this and more without me telling you.
We're living in a society where dating is confusing. We're living in a society where dating is just another part of our chuckaway culture. We try it. If it isn't any good, we can just chuck it away and move on. Just like a broken DVD or a broken TV. Don't waste time trying to fix it. It's too expensive. Are our relationships just the same? Can we just chuck them away and start again? We live in a world where dating is carried out over the internet, on MSN, on Facebook, virtual relationships. They're quite safe in a way, quite impersonal. If you don't like the person or you go off them, just don't sign on and talk to them. We live in a world where we have TV ads encouraging us to find your perfect match by going online and answering a few questions, meeting people in chat rooms, carrying on those virtual relationships. We are living in a society where the physical aspects of a relationship are highlighted as key. We're living in a society that puts pressure on people for sex. If you don't do it, then you don't really love me. I do it because I feel wanted. Everyone else is doing it. I don't want to lose my boyfriend or girlfriend because I won't do it. My friends will think I'm weird if I don't. And even if people don't want to engage in sex, they're still being confused into performing other types of sex acts because they are told that that's okay, because it's not really sex. Studies in America have shown that there's been a decline in sexual intercourse, pregnancy and abortion rates. And some of that may not be down to these abstinence pledges that are out there. Some of it may not be down to fear of STDs, but some of it could actually be down to the increase of other sexual acts not seen as being real sex, so being okay to do. In this study, 92% of American 22 to 24-year-old females had had sexual intercourse. 30% of those aged 15 to 17 females had given oral sex to a male. 38% had received it. 6.4% of girls aged 14 to 15 years old had four or more sexual partners. 8.8% of 15 to 16-year-olds had four or more sexual partners. 13.4% of 16 to 17-year-olds had four or more sexual partners. Our magazines, our newspapers are full of agony aunt pages with letters about all kinds of sexual problems and issues going on, mainly from people who are feeling pressured or insecure or lonely. Society tells us that sex and physical interaction is a key part of being in a relationship. If you're not into that, then maybe you shouldn't be into relationships. I think some of this links back to last week, to what Nick was saying about our desire for love, our desire to love and to be loved. And Nick was talking last week about what love really is and God's idea of love for us. And maybe because people are insecure and lonely and looking for love in the wrong places, they're prepared to do all kinds of things just to feel wanted and to feel secure. But what does the church say? The question for churches, or for church young people, I guess, is to date or not to date? Should people date just for the sake of it? Or should you wait to date until you're ready for marriage? Some would argue that you should avoid dating until you are ready to form a long-term relationship with another. If you're not serious about dating someone, or you're not serious about someone, then don't date them. Others would argue that dating is all part of learning. Learning to relate, learning to love, learning how to split up. Not just to text goodbye, but to say goodbye. It's a natural part of the process for adolescent development. The hurts and the love. As far as I can work out, the reason not to get into boyfriend or girlfriend relationships seems to be about removing yourself from temptation. The hormonal teenagers cannot be trusted, so they should be made to stay apart. Or the testosterone-fueled adolescent male has only one thing on his mind, and that's sex. Dating needs to be avoided to protect them. Now, there are some myths about that. And apparently one of these myths is that teenage boys think about sex every 4 seconds. Okay? And there's quite an interesting quote about this. If a guy really had a sexual thought every 4 seconds, he wouldn't be capable of thinking rationally or reasoning soundly. Just do the maths. Imagine you are engaged in an hour-long conversation with a normal teenage boy about football. Are we really to believe that in the course of that hour, his attention will be diverted towards sexual things 900 times? Then that would definitely redefine fantasy football, but I'm not sure that really happens. And if we apply the same maths to the natural waking hours in his day, that guy would have had 13,500 sexual thoughts before his bedtime. If you believe the press, then adolescent males are testosterone-fueled teenagers looking for sex. I'm not sure that's the case. Are Christians or churches buying into the same culture, though? Are we in danger of reinforcing to our young people and young adults that dating is just about sex? Are we in danger of perpetuating the myth that teenagers only have one thing on their mind? When we start saying to our young people, sex is just for marriage, which it is, I agree with that. Don't get into relationships unless you're going to get married, and these kind of things. When we start saying to young people about signing these pledges of abstinence, which is no bad thing, are we in danger of just saying to young people, no, 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 everything's bad, everything's dangerous, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, rather than helping our young people to get a better understanding of what deep, real relationships are about? Are we in danger of just saying no rather than explaining why? Are we in danger of just saying, well, that's okay, I've got the church youth group to sign up to these abstinence pledges, that's the job done. We can forget about it now. They've got their little card, they've got their silver ring, or whatever it is, and they're saying, that's it, I'm not going to have sex, job done for the church. Or actually, are we missing the point when we're missing out all the other stuff that goes with it to help these guys understand and have deep, sensible relationships? Isn't the responsibility of the church to help people manage relationships properly? To make sure that the full meaning of love is understood? That people are built up in their faith to make right choices and right decisions? Dating needs to be seen in the context of deep friendships. These may develop into long-term relationships, maybe into marriage, and then maybe into the physical elements of those relationships. You see, dating is about being connected. And I believe all of us long to be connected. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's what we want from the relationship that causes the problems. And we need to get that understanding right. We come together to work together, to be like best friends. When Carita and I came together, there were times when we kind of wondered, I'm sure, I've got to be careful what I say now, where's this heading? Is this the right thing to be doing or whatever else? But you work through that. That's what coming into a long relationship is all about. You work through those times. You work through those issues. You work through the do I really fancy you kind of stage 2 weeks after you started going out or whatever. And I know you did that because I know you spoke to people at school and said, what should I do? And they said, I'll give him a chance. And she did. Just snog him. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so we have those times, and it's how we deal with those times. Do we just run away from it? Actually, and what are we teaching people about what it is to be in those kind of relationships? Should young people and young adults be forced to suppress natural emotions and feelings of attraction because the church is worried that they can't control themselves? Or should they be encouraged to explore feelings, to learn about relationships, to experience the pain of rejection maybe, and to see that it's all part of God's plan for their lives. Sure, there are temptations and people make mistakes. People put pressure on others, and I think, as I said, these abstinence schemes are good things for people to buy into, to kind of show how their faith is going to impact on their lives. But we shouldn't, as a church, just see those as the answer. Sign up, job done. The church needs to be there to support people, to help them learn about good relationships, to model good relationships, not to make them feel guilty, inadequate or ashamed. The church needs to be a place where people can be safe, where people are allowed to be real, where people are allowed to be vulnerable with each other and say, you know what, I'm struggling with this, and not feel that the church is going to look down on them, but the church is going to lift them up, the church is going to support them, and the church is going to support them. So let's have a look at these Bible passages, just briefly, to see what they say to us. In the Romans 12, I'll read it to you again, because I'm sure you've shut your Bibles. So then, my brothers and sisters, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect. In verse 1, for me, the key word there is offering yourselves, all that you are, your whole bodies. Offer yourselves, everything about you. Don't just give your heart, but give God your lives, all that you are, all that you do. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Live for God. God has shown you his great mercy by giving his son to die for this world. And he requires us to respond with our lives, all that we are. And if we're truly living for God, this will have a direct effect on the way that we live, the things that we do, and the nature of our relationships and our mindset in dating. We will treat our partners, our dates, with the respect that they deserve. And we will enter into those relationships with the right mindset, a mindset that wants to build up trust and understanding and support and loyalty. And then in verse 2, it talks about a total transformation. Do not conform yourselves to the standard of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Literally, it's a metamorphosis, being made new, having a total transformation, reformed, remade by a change in your mind and a change in your focus. We're being encouraged to look to God, because God will give us the answers. And when we have an inward change, we see things through different eyes, God's eyes. And if we can see relationship through different eyes, if we can see relationships through God's eyes, then we behave in the way that we behave in our dating is going to be radically different from the way that the world views dating. Our priorities will be different. We will value the other person and their views. We will seek to develop deep relationships with them. A relationship built on trust. A relationship that's built on support. A relationship that's built to last. Not a relationship that's filled on that's built on physical gratification and quick fixes. We would do well too to remember the words from Ecclesiastes. Verse 9, remember, young people, enjoy your youth. Be happy while you are still young. Do what you want to do and follow your heart's desire. But remember that God is going to judge you for whatever you do. And in chapter 12, verse 13, after all this, there is only one thing to say. Have reverence for God and obey his commands, because this is all that human beings were created for. God is going to judge everything we do, whether good or bad, even things done in secret. You can enjoy yourself while you're young. God is not a killjoy. He wants you to have fun. He wants you to have a good life. But you need to remember, God will be watching you. He will not just watch what you do in public, the show you put on to your friends, to your youth leaders, to your church leaders. He watches what you're like behind closed doors. When you are away from the spotlight, when you think you're all alone, God is there. God doesn't just see the things you allow the world to see. He sees your private actions too. But more than that, God also sees what's going on inside. Your emotions, your thoughts, your feelings. God knows what lies behind your eyes. He sees the things you bury deep inside. And his passage says, God will look at that too. He will judge you by those things also. This passage makes it very clear that God will hold us to account for the things that we do, the words that we say, and the thoughts that we have. We cannot hide from him. So to sum up, dating is a dangerous thing. There are all kinds of pressures on you, on us, as we play the dating game. Dating can be fantastic if the proper care is taken to develop sound relationships built on good principles and with openness and trust. Then dating can be good. Dating doesn't have to be avoided, but care is needed, and the support of good people around you is crucial. And finally, do not enter into the dating arena lightly. You can do anything. You can enjoy yourself. But remember, God is watching and he will hold you to account. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you created us people to be in relationship. In relationship with each other. And in relationship with you. Lord God, we pray that we would put you at the centre of our lives. That we would work first on building a strong and deep relationship with you. And then from that, using that strength, using that understanding to build meaningful relationships with others. Father God, I pray that you would protect us from a society that says anything goes. A society that says that sex is good and should be whatever you want it to be, whenever you want. And I pray that you would protect us and protect our young people from just going down that road blindly. Lord God, I pray that you would put sensible people around them to give them wise advice, to stand beside them, to help them to develop right relationships. Lord God, bless us all as we seek to deepen our understanding with you. In your name.